Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
A big show for you today. Some breaking news right as we come on the air. That is that the Pope has affirmed that marriage is between one man and one woman. And the Pope has also affirmed that we got to protect the unborn. That's right. We got to protect the unborn. We got to protect babies. That's a big deal. Coming from the Pope, the new Pope, Pope Leo. And I'm excited about that. That's good. He should affirm these things. So that's where we are. And, you know, we're expecting there might be charges against those Democrat Congress people in Newark, New Jersey, those lunatic women who and the mayor, of course, who we know has already been charged. But we are expecting Alina Haba, the United States Attorney for New Jersey, to formally charge those members of Congress. That's a big deal if that happens as well. So a lot going on today. It's a very, very busy show. And obviously last night, as you know, James Comey was playing with some seashells on the beach. I have to tell you, you know, I was really excited to be on Laura Ingraham's show last night in Fox News. The topic that I was supposed to talk about was Trump's trip abroad and everything he's accomplishing on the world stage, which I think has been an absolute home run for the president. I mean, even Democrats had to acknowledge that the president was having an amazing, amazing overseas trip. They didn't want to. They reluctantly had to say that this trip was a big success for the president. But then, just as we were about to go on the air, the story broke about James Comey, the former FBI director, and the seashells on the beach in the 86-47 pattern. So we had to immediately pivot and talk about that, which we were able to do, by the way, because that's how we roll. That's what we do. That's my job. I got to talk about whatever. So I immediately had a shift to that, and we'll play the clip for you in case you missed it. But I mean, we live in such a crazy time. I just never imagined I'd be on prime time in Fox News talking about seashells. It just never in my life did I imagine that. This is one of those things you really can't truly imagine. But let's understand what the president has accomplished on the world stage. Number one, affirming the Trump doctrine. We are not going to be nation building anymore. And we're also not going to be telling nations how to govern. We are not going to be lecturing other nations around the world how to govern. Now, that's going to make some people upset, because they believe that the United States of America should be preaching to other nations, and even going a step further with many of these nations, the United States of America should be telling these nations what to do and bossing them around. And that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The way to do it is to be trading partners with them, help them see the economic benefits of being partners with the United States of America, and then bring them up to the modern world. That's the way to do it. And that's really what the Trump doctrine is all about. So I'm very, very happy about that. Because as you know, for years, I've been opposed to all the intervention, the nation building, the United States of America thinking it could be the world's police department, and all of the other crazy things that the United States of America has been engaged in foreign policy wise. Now, there's a lot of people out there who don't like this. You know, they want America to be the quote unquote leader on the world stage. Well, we will be. We'll be modeling to those other nations how to be. We'll be showing them the way forward, and they'll want to do business with us, and that will bring them into the modern world and out of the Stone Age. I mean, literally, because these countries years ago, not that long ago, they were just sand. I mean, they were just sand. Now they're skyscrapers and movie theaters and restaurants and comedy acts like Dave Chappelle going there, and just progress towards civilization. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to behold. That's the Trump doctrine. Even CNN had to acknowledge it. Even CNN's Harry Enten. Let's begin there, shall we, Justin, with cut number one, talking about Trump rising from the dead. First of all, I don't think he was ever dead. I think those polls were nonsense. I think that you can make a poll say whatever it is. But hey, let's for the sake of fun, let's pretend like Trump was really, really on the ropes, that his first 100 days was just a failure, and now he's rising from the dead. Why not? Let's play cut number one.
I think it's time for a bit of a reality check, right? We were going late April. Donald Trump's approval rating is falling. He seemed to be adios, amigos. People were writing his political obituary. He is rising from the dead like Methuselah. Look at this. Hello, Trump's net approval rating among voters. This is the Reuters Ipsos polling. Look at this. In late April, he was 8 points underwater. But look at where he was in the most recent poll among voters. He's up 7 points to a minus 1 point net favorability rating. This is not the picture that I think a lot of people were thinking that we would be painting in late April. I think a lot of people expected his approval rate to keep dropping. But at least according to Reuters Ipsos, it's in fact rising.
It's in fact rising. Now, they don't really want to be saying that, but it's the truth. First of all, like I said, he wasn't dead. He wasn't a political failure. Nobody was writing his political obituary. Those were all dreams. But this was a massive win for him on the world stage, a huge success. So let's go over a couple of the things that he accomplished, right? Saudi Arabia's $600 billion commitment to invest in the United States, which marks a new partnership between the two countries. Signed an agreement with Qatar to generate an economic exchange worth at least $1.2 trillion. He announced economic deals totaling more than $245 billion between the United States and Qatar, including a historic sale of Boeing aircraft and GE Aerospace engines to Qatar Airways. Announced over $200 billion in commercial deals between the United States and the United Arab Emirates. In total, President Trump secured over $2 trillion in investment agreements with three Middle Eastern nations, paving the way towards a more safe and prosperous future. And as I see it, the days of thinking that the only way to deal with the Middle East was regime change and nation building and invading countries, and that's all behind us, at least while he's president anyway, it's behind us. Well, if Kamala Harris would want to be a much different situation, none of this would be happening, and certainly we would not be closer to peace with Russia and Ukraine. But we would be the same old talking points of we've got to enrich Iran, let Iran do whatever it wants to do, or there won't be peace in the Middle East. It would not be about forging these alliances. Why are these countries doing this? Because number one, we don't need them anymore. And they know that. We don't need them and their oil anymore. They can't push us around. They can't bully us around, because the United States of America now is energy independent and is going to be even more so. And we'll be selling our oil on the world stage. And they know that. Number two, these countries have seen the benefits of the economic investment. I mean, I was watching an interview last night with the guy from the United Arab Emirates and Brett Baer. So when I was hanging in the green room at Fox News in D.C., and he's going on and on about, Brett, we are our values. We are open to all religions. We've got mosques. We've got churches. We've got temples. Everybody's welcome here. Going out of his way to explain why this country is open for business and loving and caring to all people. Now, look, I don't know. I'm not saying that I believe all this stuff. A lot of this is PR. I'm not a dope. But the point is this. We're at this moment in time right now where these countries want to be on our side. They get it. They want to be on our side. And this is great for the United States of America. That's great. What are the Democrats doing? Well, in Arlington, Virginia, for example, the Democrats there have banned police officers from cooperating with ICE. They're not going to work with ICE, even on getting rid of terrorists, gang members, and human traffickers. Democrats in New Jersey getting arrested outside the ICE facility. And by the way, the New Jersey transit strike is still going on in New Jersey because his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, is a terrible leader and can't come to a deal with New Jersey Transit. And so if you are somebody affected by that, my sympathies to you, because it's just it's going to be a nightmare as the commuter rail is on strike. But luckily, in our area, at least, it's not going to affect as many people since, you know, the most people it's going to affect are those that take the train into New York City. So if you are one of those people, obviously, I'm sorry, because it's a mess. And it didn't have to be like this, but the governor's incompetent and he waited till the last minute, of course, and he doesn't want to, he doesn't know how to lead. He's a doofus. I mean, that's the bottom line. He's a doofus. So knowing that the Trump doctrine is very different from what past Republicans have done. So you're being here at this Republican National Lawyers Association event. I'm looking around the room. And there's hundreds of lawyers from around the country who are here today in Washington, D.C. I'm listening to Jim Jordan speak. And Jim Jordan is talking about how Trump has realigned the Republican Party, embracing populism, but with a conservative philosophy, a conservative principles of populism, and thinking how many lawyers in this room probably were against him initially when he ran for president in 2016. And maybe some of them in the room don't even really like him, but they love the results of what he's achieving. And a big thing that he had to do with was a realignment was this notion of the Republican Party being a party of, let's face it, intervention. I don't want to say war, but intervention. If, you know, Jeb Bush, exclamation mark, a classic example of that, even Rubio back then. These are guys that wanted the American Pax Americana to be, we spread democracy around the world. And it was an abysmal failure after Iraq. And we saw what happened with Iraq after Saddam Hussein was toppled. And then we saw what happened with Syria. And it's just not practical. But it was a mindset shift, because that's what so many in the party believed, that that's where we had to be. Otherwise, we would have terrorists at our doorstep. And when Rand Paul was running for president, and then Rand Paul dropped out and many of his supporters backed Trump for that very reason, because we need to move away from that. Trump, I think, took reluctant Republicans who didn't want to be there, and he's taken them where the party needs to be now. And it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. It's something I've been advocating for years and years and years. And as a piece into what I mean by that Trump doctrine, here's what the president said as he was speaking overseas with the Saudi U.S. Investment Forum. This is cut number two.
In recent years, far too many American presidents have been afflicted with the notion that it's our job to look into the souls of foreign leaders and use U.S. policy to dispense justice for their sins. They loved using our very powerful military, and now it's really the most powerful it's ever been. We just are getting a budget approved, $1 trillion, highest budget we've ever had in history for military, $1 trillion, and we're getting the greatest missiles, the greatest weapons. And you know, I hate to do it, but you have to do it because we believe in peace through strength. You have to have the strength, otherwise bad things could happen. But hopefully we'll never have to use any of those weapons. Seems to be an awfully big waste of money if you're never going to use them, but hopefully we'll never have to use them, because the destructive power of some of those weapons are like nobody's seen before. I believe it is God's job to sit in judgment, my job to defend America and to promote the fundamental interest of stability, prosperity, and peace. That's what I really want to do.
Good. I mean, that's good. Peace and prosperity and stability are all good things, and these countries want that, and it's fantastic. It was a very historic week for the president, and even listening to Democrats having to acknowledge that, even Democrat think pieces having to acknowledge that he not only looked strong on the world stage, but what he was able to accomplish. It wasn't just a show trip. It was a trip that was actually with substance, that brought back real investments into the United States of America by countries that had at one point, we weren't even friends, let alone were them, you know, spending money in our country, investing in our country. There is a story today that I want to make sure we talk about, which is about Pfizer. I remember we were in mornings during COVID. How could we forget? And I remember when the COVID vaccine from Pfizer came out. It was after the election. And I remember at the time Dawn was reporting on it, the great Dawn Stenson, and she said, this seems like it could be very political, the timing of this. Well, now we know that it was true. Pfizer absolutely plotted to delay the COVID vaccine until after the election. That story is a big story. I mean, think about that. I'm not saying that, and this is not a, this is not an endorsement or this is not a segment on the benefits, the merits, or the dangers of the COVID shot. This is just simply about the politics of what Pfizer did in 2020. Chairman Jim Jordan, who was here today speaking at this Republican National Lawyers Association event, his committee said they're looking into this claim, that it received bombshell evidence that suggested Pfizer executives pushed to delay full testing for their company's COVID vaccine until after the 2020 election. British drug maker GSK informed the panel that Philip Dormeitzer, a former Pfizer executive who became a senior scientist at GSK, told colleagues that in late 2020, the three most senior people in Pfizer R&D were involved in a decision to deliberately slow down clinical testing so that it would not be complete prior to the results of the presidential election that year. The Judiciary Committee, led by Chairman Jim Jordan, said that it had sought information from GSK after the Wall Street Journal reported in March. U.S. prosecutors were looking into a tip from the company that came in soon after President Donald Trump won a second term in 2024. The journalist noted that Trump, who lost to Biden in 2020, for years has claimed that Pfizer sat on the positive results of clinical trials, which could have reflected well on his management of the pandemic and could have reassured voters heading into the polls. There was never evidence to support that accusation, but now it's come out that there absolutely is. This allegation, if it's true, is a really, really huge, huge bombshell. GSK further informed the committee that Dr. Dormeitzer had told GSK employees that in late 2020, the three most senior people were involved in this decision to deliberately slow down testing. Deliberately. This was because they wanted to influence the 2020 election. They didn't want Trump to look good. They didn't want Trump to look like he had come out and he had come out with a vaccine that Operation Warp Speed had worked, that the end of the pandemic was here and that everybody can move on with their lives. That was their fear. That was their fear, that that's what would have been the result if they had come out with that vaccine. So if that's the case, people need to go to jail, because I mean, they compromised public health. They compromised so much. You can't look in the rearview mirror now at the fact that the COVID vaccine was not really a vaccine in the sense that it didn't stop the transmission of COVID, nor did it stop you from getting it, and that there were all these side effects. You can't do that. You got to go back to 2020 when everybody was afraid of this virus and the pandemic was in its grips, and the president and Operation Warp Speed were trying to get this get a vaccine, and here they were with the clinical tests. And then they hit it because they didn't want to help him in the presidential election. I mean, that's outrageous is what that is. If it's true, it's completely outrageous. And then people need to go to jail for that because they compromise public health for political reasons. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is your guy, and he'll be the one who will help you get that perfect smile that you deserve. Okay, Vanaria, VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike is my friend, my dentist, and he is the master of dental implants. So go see him today. Big show for you today. Lots of great guests, breaking news all over the place. So stick around. We're streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun. Join the chat. Keep the conversation going.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What was that bumper music anyway, Justin?
What was it?
Moving Out.
Can I hear you at least?
Oh, there we go. Now you should be able to hear me.
There we go. All right. What was that bumper music?
That was Moving Out by Billy Joel. And you managed to hit the okay right as the lyrics start. So I commend you for your timing on that.
See that? My timing is impeccable. Look at that. Amazing.
Unbelievably perfect.
All right. Good. Excellent. Well, here's the deal. We are, I'm at the Republican National Lawyers Association. It's their 40th anniversary celebration. There's a lot of great speakers here today. One of those speakers is Carrie Severino, who is a great legal mind. You see her on Fox News all the time. She is somebody I sat down with and interviewed a little while ago. We're going to talk to Will Chamberlain. He's a senior counsel for what's known as the Article 3 Project. Also sat down with Ilya Shapiro. He's the guy that got fired from Georgetown or left Georgetown after they tried to fire him over a tweet. Tom Homan, the border czar, Tom Homan is going to be on the show today. So we have a big show for you today and lots of surprises coming up. Some of these interviews I had to do earlier, just given speakers' schedules. Some of the people that are here can't come on the show today, but will be on the show in the future. Like, for example, Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator who's speaking soon here today, but he was not able to join us on the show live today, but he will be here with us, we're hoping, very, very soon. But his schedule obviously is jam-packed, as you can imagine. Today is all about figuring out really what the purpose of this is to figure out how we can deal with the judicial activism that we're seeing in this country with these universal injunctions put on the president by these judges, and what's the remedy for that. Because obviously you don't want a situation where it's a president you don't like issuing an executive order. That would be something that you don't like. And then there's no remedy for that. So there has to be a remedy for the courts to be able to check a president. But the answer can't be universal injunctions, because it's just one judge who then just decides it for the entire country. And then there's no process. There's no nothing. And that becomes the real issue there. But back on Capitol Hill, you should know that the one big, beautiful bill as of right now is dead in committee. It did not pass committee. That's the current state of the situation. And the breaking news on that is that the vote failed because conservative members are saying that the bill does not have enough spending cuts in it. Ultimately, it's going to be something that the president has to get directly involved with when he gets back on U.S. soil, because otherwise this thing is probably not going to go anywhere. That's at the moment right now where we stand with that. So What do I think is going to happen? I mean, ultimately, they're going to come up with something. They have to. They have to come up with something. Is it going to be a major fight? Yeah, because there's too much bloat in this. What is what people who are considered to be people like Chip Roy and others. So five Republicans voted no in the budget committee today. They include Chip Roy of Texas, Lloyd Smucker from Pennsylvania, and a couple of other people you probably don't know. Republicans can only afford to lose two of their members and still advance the legislation. Smucker changes vote from yes to no in a procedural move. saying, to be clear, I fully support the One Big Beautiful Bill. My vote today in the budget committee is a procedural requirement to preserve the committee's opportunity to reconsider the motion to advance the One Big Beautiful Bill. House Budget Committee Chairman Jody Arrington of Texas said the committee went into recess after the vote, told members after the markup he did not expect the committee to come back on Friday. Go home. He would let members know if they would resume first thing Monday. So it's Friday in D.C. and it's friggin' hot as hell out, by the way. The swamp is very hot. It's so humid. I went for a little walk just down the street and I came back drenched. So they're done for the day. And they're going to pick this up on Monday morning. And they're going to hope to have a vote Monday morning and then advance the bill. They've got things they have to work out. Here is Chairman or Chairperson Arrington saying to go home, cut number four.
Hey, for the members, listen up. I do not anticipate us coming back today. I've had some questions. I know most of you are trying to get home. Go home. I'll let you know this weekend if we're going to return first thing Monday. I think that's the goal at this point. But just know that the weekend is yours and your family's, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
All right, so they got the weekend. That's going to make a lot of people very upset. Because they think, and I'm kind of this opinion too, could you stay in town and figure this out, work this out for us, please? You're going home for the weekend? It's a bad look. I'm sorry, but it's a bad look. You know, you just stick around and work. A lot of people have to work over the weekend sometimes. Sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes you just got to work. Sometimes you got to put in the hours. You know what I mean? Just go home and we'll call you. We'll try to come back Monday morning. I don't really know what that means. After the House Committee budget failed to advance the bill, one of the Democrats, Delegate Stacey Plaskett, from the Virgin Islands. She's a delegate, so she doesn't actually get an actual vote. But this is what she was saying here about this One Big Beautiful Bill, cut number five.
Listen, I'm concerned with SNAP. I'm concerned with Medicaid, Pell Grants, energy manufacturing. Those are important to me. That represents trillions of dollars that they have cut. But if they're really interested in being fiscally responsible, then don't give such big cuts to the rich. Actually try and balance a budget. Actually try and bring down the deficit. If you want to take away all of those things from the neediest, take away some from the rich as well. But you don't want to do that. You want to give them more off of the backs of American people.
That's not exactly true. That's not really true. But go ahead. Keep going.
No, that was it.
That was it. Okay. The big thing right now that they're still battling over is the SALT deduction. And, you know, like I said to you yesterday on the show, this idea, state and local taxes. All right. We all pay. If you live in Jersey, you live in New York, you live in California, you pay a lot of property taxes. They're very expensive. And then this idea then that everybody else around the country subsidizes that, the SALT deduction. But these Republicans who represent these districts have constituents who pay high taxes and they want to get a better SALT deduction. And this idea of this $10,000 cap, it's on there now. And so what you have is you've got Republicans who are saying they're not going to support the bill unless the cap either goes away or the cap gets raised. And then you've got other Republicans turning around and saying, no, we're not going to let the rest of America subsidize these high tax blue states. And then they came up with this $30,000 compromise, which I thought made sense. I mean, it sounded incredibly generous, but that wasn't good enough, apparently, for them. So that's what happened there. And then that caused some problems with the bill. And then the other thing that caused problems with the bill is that you've got Democrats out there spreading absolute lies, absolute lies. Okay, somebody's saying that to me. Okay, thank you. So Lee Pervorsky somebody just sent this to me. Not you, Matt, because you're not following breaking news, but I gotta count on my friends for this. Lee Pervorsky. Apparently, the House Budget Committee is planning to reconvene Sunday night at 10 p.m. to vote again on reconciliation. Okay. Matt, do you think you could follow breaking news so that I could get some breaking news updates from people that actually work on the show?
I'll keep a better eye on it. I'm trying to set up the next segment. I apologize.
All right, that's okay. But thank you, Lee Pervorsky, for doing Matt DeSantis' job. We appreciate that. I got Linda Kearns doing your job today. Everybody's doing your job today, Matt. You realize that, right?
Good. Can I go home?
No. No, I mean, you might as well. It's like your home. You might as well.
Broadcasting from home, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, you know. All right, so Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, they're coming back. All right, well, that's still, I kind of feel like you should just hang out for the weekend. I mean, get this done. Sunday night at 10. How much are they going to get done Sunday night at 10 o'clock? I just, you know, I don't, I'm just stay in town and friggin' work like everybody else. Just work like everybody else. That's what I would say. Just do that, you know? I mean, come on. Everybody else is working. You should work too. People work on weekends all the time. It's such a bad freaking look for these people. And you know, this is pivotal. We got to get this done. But anyway, like I was saying, part of the reason why this is not going anywhere is Democrats are still lying about Medicare and Medicaid, and they're lying about cuts to Social Security. And the Democrats don't want to see this bill go anywhere, but they're spreading fear, and they're spreading fear mongering, which of course is resulting in phone calls going through. And then you have very fiscally conservative Republicans, people like Tom Massey and others, who are saying this bill does not have nearly enough spending cuts in it. So we're just going to be spending more and more money. We can't afford this bill. That's the battle lines that are being drawn right now. And I'm telling you, it's something that has to happen. So how is the president reacting to all of this? Well, he's not happy, as you know. He's very much not happy. He's saying that they need to fix this, and they got to do this right now. They got to do this, and it needs to be done. And I get what he's saying, because we just don't have a lot of time to sort this out. He said Republicans must unite behind one big, beautiful bill. Not only does it cut taxes for all Americans, but it will kick millions of illegal aliens off of Medicaid to protect it for those who are the ones in real need. The country will suffer greatly without this legislation, with their taxes going up 65%. It will be blamed on the Democrats. But that doesn't help our voters. We don't need grandstanders in the Republican Party. Stop talking and get it done. It's time to fix the mess that Biden and the Democrats gave us. Thank you for your attention to this matter. And yeah, get it done. It needs to happen. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what some of the more conservative members of the House are saying. And remember, you can only lose one or two of these guys here, or the entire thing is dead, basically. But for example, let's see. Tom Massey saying, this is a hard pill for many to swallow, but I'm going to double down. Lots of regular people like those here in X get elected to Congress, but they get there and they don't have what it takes to work against the corrupted system, and they don't get rich from lobbyists or trading. He said, let's see if I can find the particular tweet on this. Much of the ridiculous spending DOGE found was not an oversight by Republicans. It was intentional. At the State of the Union, POTUS listed ridiculous appropriations to cut, and the Republicans who had funded it cheered. It's no surprise Congress did a CR to fund all of it again. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just going to tell you what I've been told. There was extreme frustration, rightfully so, and I agree, not seeing DOGE cuts being passed through Congress in the form of rescission bills. I've been told that the White House OMB is working with the House Appropriations Committee on a rescission package that we are supposed to see after we get done arguing with each other over this reconciliation bill, Trump's big, beautiful bill. And I'm still unclear why we aren't passing executive orders every week. I was told we are waiting to get done with reconciliation after that a portion of them have already been drafted with input from the White House. So far, this week, we saw members of Congress fall asleep in absurdly long overnight committee markups for reconciliation. We have voted to rename a park and a historical site and voted on the 19th anti-Semitism bill since I've been in Congress, 19. And that's what they've been doing. So there's a lot of frustration right now, as you can imagine, a lot of frustration from people who are saying, why are we not getting this done? All right. We're going to talk to Carrie Severino coming up next. She's fantastic. She's one of the smartest legal minds out there, frequent guest on Fox News, and she's going to break down for us what we can expect to see with regards to reining in these out-of-control judges at our live show here at the Republican National Lawyers Association. I'm very, very happy about our great friends at Tri-County Auto And I'm so grateful that they're now partners of our show. They're in Limerick, but they're so close. I mean, they're right off Route 422, King of Prussia, Collegeville, Exton, easy to get to from wherever you are. And they have an amazing selection of Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. This is American made, baby. American craftsmanship from a great local dealership with terrific people. And you just want to check them out, because I'm telling you right now, trust and integrity matter. Their Tri-County for Life program ensures that you get money back at your customer for life. The Tri-County Advantage program gives you money back towards future purchases whenever you bring a car in for maintenance. They have over 280 new Toyotas in stock, and many of the Toyotas are now built in the United States of America. And Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, maybe it's a Jeep Wrangler, sporty, versatile, Jeep Compass. They have employee pricing on many of their cars. They're always going to work to find you the absolute best price. That's the Tri-County Auto difference. And Brian Krieger and his team, well, let me tell you, they are dedicated to making sure that you're happy. They do great work with our veterans. I first got to know him because of their incredible support for the Travis Mannion Foundation and all the great work that they've done supporting the Travis Mannion Foundation all these years. So yeah, it's absolutely, go visit them online, Tri-County CDJR for Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Tri-County CDJR. And like I said, they're so close, King of Prussia, Exton, Collegeville, right off 422. You'll love the service. You'll love the dedication. You'll love what they have in stock. You'll love employee pricing. You'll love the sales. So go see them today. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, here at the Republican National Lawyers Association, their big annual meeting, and I'm really excited, in person, Carrie Severino, president of Judicial Network, co-author of Justice on Trial. Fantastic to see you here, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to see you in person.
Yeah. A lot to talk about. First of all, I'd love to get your take on the rulings before the Supreme Court yesterday. Let's start with the bigger question of these universal injunctions, and what do you think is going to happen ultimately?
Yeah, it's always hard
hard to predict. I think yesterday's arguments are maybe harder to predict than they often are, because there's so much on the table. A lot of times, if the court's looking at a big procedural question, like these, what can courts issue injunctions that apply to people that aren't parties before them? It's this in-the-weeds procedurally question. They like to do it in a case that's not also high profile. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you get a case that's higher profile than Trump's executive orders on birthright citizenship. Yeah. So they are kind of stuck taking this because it's an important issue. It came to them. But it makes it really hard for them to navigate, because how do you separate all these things out? From what I heard, it seems like the court doesn't want to get to the issue of birthright citizenship itself, which is really how it came to them. It's like, let's just talk about the procedure. And you heard a majority of the justices, from my take, say, yeah, there's a lot of problems with these universal injunctions. Even Justice Kagan, who has spoken out, particularly during the Biden administration, mm-hmm. about how these get abused, acknowledge that. Of course, she says this is different. And the question is, can the courts figure out a way to rein those in, to put in limits that are going to be principled and can apply even-handedly to any president, not just a Trump, but a Biden, but an Obama, but a whoever comes next? And I think they're looking at ways to do that. One might be class actions. So instead of having one district court saying, hey, you brought this case and we're going to find that this executive order is illegal across the entire country, mm-hmm. if you have a class action, then you're at least doing it in a way that is carefully done according to normal procedures, not according to this relatively novel method of universal injunctions. And you're doing it in a way where if the government wins, it applies across the board for everyone. If the government wins, if the people challenging the government wins, it applies across the board for them, and not simply a one-sided thing, which is what happens in universal injunctions. If a universal injunction, one person can sue and block it for the entire nation, but if they lose, the next person can try suing, and the next person, and the next person. The judgment has to defend it. The president has to defend it ad nauseum. So I think they may go down that kind of a direction, just because this is a system that we've already well established, and it has that beauty of reciprocity and reciprocality.
Yeah, because, I mean, we do want to make sure there is a way to rein in an executive who is abusing their power, mm-hmm. right? I mean, the hypothetical yesterday that was brought up about the Second Amendment is a good one. And as conservatives, we would want a way to be able to rein in an EO that is unconstitutional in that sense. But it's the process by how you do it, which is really the question. Let's move on to the birthright citizenship aspect of this, Carrie Severino. I wasn't real optimistic yesterday that the Solicitor General really landed the plane in terms of a lot of his arguments. It seemed like when Justice Kavanaugh was asking him, how would you go about enforcing this, it sounded like there was a real problem around that aspect of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, what Solicitor General John Sauer said was they, under this injunction, they have actually been prohibited from working out the details. Yeah. So that was his reasoning for not having that done yet. I think the biggest problem here is it's been long traditionally understood that birthright citizenship applied to everyone, not just people who are here legally. And while I do think it's actually there's a lot of to be dug into as a matter of history and originalism, even Solicitor General Sauer acknowledged this is not an open and shut question on either side. This is something the courts really need to dig mm-hmm. into. And so I don't think it doesn't look like it's going to just decide that issue now. I think that would be very premature, because these are serious arguments. This is a really important historical provision. And the cases that they're looking at in the past, talking about the birthright citizenship or birthright citizenship under certain circumstances, don't necessarily extend to all of them. And they were decided in a time where the type of illegal immigration we're seeing right now wasn't really on anyone's radar. So they weren't really taking into consideration, okay, even if it's encompassing the people that were coming into America at that time, is it encompassing people in violation of clear immigration laws, which weren't really the case for mm-hmm. much of American history. So I think there's a lot of work to be done in terms of looking at the history, and that has to be argued before some courts. Hopefully there's an opportunity to do that for other courts to weigh in. And then I do think the Supreme Court wants to get to the bottom of this issue quickly. There were several justices, Justice Gorsuch kept going back and saying, how do we solve this quickly? Because mm-hmm. they know that we can't live in a state of complete indecision indefinitely on this. We need to know one way or the other, because it's very consequential.
Is Justice, I believe it was Sotomayor, correct that there's four precedents that say that this is...
The problem is none of them says it in quite as broad of terms as you would need to address this executive order. They're all dealing with people who are here under different circumstances, and so I think that's going to be challenging. However, it's certainly true that it has very long been assumed that birthright citizenship just means anyone who walks across the border, as long as they're not, you know, let me guess, the child of a diplomat or an invading soldier, is included. I don't know how many pregnant invading soldiers there are, but who knows, right?
Well, these days you could be a man who's pregnant and invading, so, you know. Carrie Severino is with me. It's great to have her here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, president of Judicial Network and co-author of Justice on Trial. You put out a tweet, and I saw this the other day. You talked about the president trying to rein in the executive branch of government, and you said, you know, President Trump issued an executive order that cuts federal bureaucracy and regulations, and it's a welcome idea. I'm excited about this because I think we all agree the executive branch is completely out of control. The power of the president is out of control. This goes all the way back to Franklin Roosevelt. I mean, even before him, but you were talking about court packing today here at the RNLA. Can we do it, you think?
Well, one of the exciting things about what Trump is doing is his executive order was really giving teeth to a lot of things the Supreme Court has already said. So they've said you can't discriminate on the basis of race. And so this is really just saying, hey, let's actually, what if we cared that the Supreme Court said this? What if we really thought they meant that the Constitution prohibits this? We should be going through all the regulations and making sure that in the past, the misunderstanding in these inaccurately decided cases aren't influencing the government to do things that are illegal. And similarly, there's a lot of important administrative law cases that he says, let's actually move forward and pretend like instead of trying to grab every ounce of power we can, we're actually trying to stay within our constitutional limits. So hopefully there'll be time in this 4 years to do as much of an analysis as possible. The number of regulations is almost innumerable. I mean, literally, people have failed when they have attempted to figure out
crazy.
How many there are. It's incredible. Our government doesn't even know how much law there is. So anything we can do to start paring those back, in particular, because, you know, the risk of executive actions in general is, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you have an executive action, they can just undo it when they come back in. However, if you're talking about rescinding ones that are unlawful, it's going to be a whole lot harder for the next time a president that is opposed to the administration of Trump comes in. It's going to be much harder for them to
It seems
those back.
Like there's two separate things, right? There's the one executive action where I'm president on day one and I sign an executive order saying you can't buy Cuban cigars, and the next guy comes in and undoes that. But then there's the rules that are promulgated by these executive agencies that go in the Federal Register and they have all the power of law. They're not passed by Congress. Mm-hmm. And then repealing them becomes an act of Congress, which is it's just so insane to me. I mean, this idea that the executive passes laws in Congress, if they want to do something about it, has to undo that. I know that the Chevron decision gives me hope, but I mean, when you talk about how many regulations are on the books, we have no idea how many rules that come with jail time and fines and everything else that are out there. We have no idea.
Yeah, there are laws in all but name, because they have the binding force of law, and there are some procedural, you know, safeguards that the Administrative Procedures Act tries to put in, like, okay, you have to have notice and comment and all these things. Honestly,
it's
a lot of red tape, but how much does that, that's not the same thing as someone I elected has to vote for this and
correct.
Has to put their name down, and if they vote in ways I don't like, I'm going to kick the bums out. And so that's why we need to move back toward the system. That, I think, going forward, it's going to be a lot harder, I hope, under the way that the Supreme Court has been looking, in not just the Chevron case, but there's a whole lot of cases where they've been recognizing how extra-constitutional these a lot of actions of the administrative agencies are, because it's not just making laws. They're adjudicating laws.
Yeah, right.
They have their own kind of parallel court system, which, surprisingly, rules 90% of the time for the federal government.
Shocking.
Who would have thought, right?
Yeah.
So I think all of those things are being chipped away at bit by bit, because it's going to be – it's a hard system to undo when you've got this, you know, the whole deep state there. But these are great steps forward.
Before I let you go, Carrie Severino, what else is on your radar and Judicial Network's radar?
Well, there's some incredibly important cases that are going to be coming down the line in the Supreme Court this year, not just on universal injunctions. There's really important ones dealing with things like, can Tennessee require that minors have to wait until they're 18 before they have life-altering surgeries to change, to try to change their sex? Do schools have to provide opt-out provisions for parents so that they understand if there's sensitive issues, particularly on LGBT issues, but really anything that addresses their religious beliefs that schools are teaching contrary to them? Do they get to opt out? There's a lot of important stuff that the court is going to be looking at. So we're expecting all of that to start. We're starting to get decisions trickling out now, and then by the end of June, we should get a lot of them coming out. And then coming up in June, we're going to have judicial's nominations being heard in committee as well. So I'm hoping we get some nominees confirmed even before the Senate recesses in August, because as we said, some of these executive actions, they can be taken away as quickly as they can be given, but judicial nominees are for life. And so every forward step we can take on getting great judges in is going to reap huge dividends, because they're going to be there far longer than the 4 years President Trump has.
Well said. Well, listen, please follow Kerry at JCN Severino and at Judicial Network. This was great. Please come back and see me again, okay?
Yeah, great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.